This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. On the 99th day, the Senate finally filled President Obama's cabinet and Arlen Specter crossed the aisle. On the 100th day, it's time for another visit with the political junkie.
There you go again.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
Lipstick.
But I'm the decider.
On Wednesdays, NPR political editor Ken Rudin joins us to talk politics, and the Specter defection is just the biggest story this week. It's a final in Saratoga Springs, another court hearing in Minnesota on June 1st, and Kansas gets a new governor at last. In fact, there is so much to talk about, we're going to go the whole hour this week, and, well, let's get back to topic A. On Monday, we spoke with Senator Arlen Specter on this program. Back then, he was a moderate Republican who faced what he conceded was a tough conservative challenge in the party primary.
I'm working on a game plan.
So it seems. Yesterday, the senator announced he was leaving the Republican Party and plans to run as a Democrat in 2010.
The prospects for winning a Republican primary are bleak. I am not prepared to have my 29-year record in the United States Senate decided by the Pennsylvania Republican primary electorate.
We'll talk about Senator Specter's decision and what it means for Pennsylvania, for Republicans, and the Democrats, too, in just a bit. But we begin, as always, with a trivia question. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us here in Studio 3A. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil. Well, actually, when I heard the news that Arlen Specter was switching parties, I thought he was going to become a Republican, which would have been pretty remarkable. Okay, that's very funny. Trivia question. Who, before Arlen Specter, the last member of the House and the last member of the Senate to switch either from Democrat to Republican or Republican to Democrat?
So the last member of the House and the last member of the Senate to switch from Republican to Democrat or vice versa.
Could be two T-shirts here.
Could be. Yeah. If you think you know, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or zap us an email, talk@npr.org. But clearly, we're going to go into depth on this a little bit later. Boom, big decision.
Remarkable story. Given the fact that he has said over and over again that I intend to remain as a Republican.
And that this would be a bad thing. You don't want a supermajority in the Senate to give the Democrats everything they wanted. This would be a horrible thing to do, unless I'm losing the primary.
What I don't buy is that I don't think the party, I mean, a lot of the discussion was the fact that the party has moved too far to the right. They've been saying that since he was first elected, Arlen Specter was first elected in 1980, when Ronald Reagan was the elected president that year. But the point is, some 200,000 Republicans did leave the Republican Party in Pennsylvania in 2008 to vote for Barack Obama because they didn't like the way their party was going. And thus, going into an April 2010 Senate primary against Pat Toomey, the conservative former congressman, there was no way that Arlen Specter was going to get renominated. Of course, he had to get renominated before he can get reelected. And so he looked, the writing was on the wall that he needed to not run as a Republican.
And this was something that he was talking about, what he would describe as extreme right-wing groups like the Club for Growth. And Pat Toomey, a former member of Congress, but also president of the Club for Growth, he says those push Republican electorates all the way to the right, make it about right-wing issues, and it's impossible for moderates to win. Then it's impossible for the conservatives in a state like Pennsylvania to win in the general.
Well, Republicans got that message in 2001 when Jim Jeffords switched. That was different, I think. And Club for Growth has gone into several congressional primaries. Joe Schwartz in Michigan, there have been several where they put up a much more conservative nominee. The conservative nominee will win the primary, and then the Republican Party loses the seat in November to a more moderate Democrat. That's the argument that Olympia Snow tried to make in today's New York Times op-ed, that Arlen Specter tried to make yesterday, that the party is forcing itself with litmus tests to go too far to the right.
And there are those who argue that indeed the new chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Steele, pushed Arlen Specter out of the party after three Republican senators, including the two women from Maine and Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, voted for the stimulus package, the only Republicans in Congress to do so. He said the party ought to fund challenges in the primary.
That was a remarkable thing, an amazing thing for a chairman of a party to say to about three members of their own Senate, given that their numbers in the Senate is dwindling, but Specter was only the only one up in 2010, and that basically was a signal saying that even the party leadership felt that Specter went too far for voting for the stimulus package.
Let's see if we can get some people with answers to our trivia question. Again, if you think you know the last member of the Senate to switch and the last member of the House of Representatives to switch from Republican to Democrat or vice versa, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's see if we can go to Heather. Heather with us from West Hartford in Connecticut.
Hello.
Hi, Heather.
Hi. I thought it was an either or, but on the Senate, it was Jim Jeffords.
Jim Jeffords of Vermont, formerly a Republican.
Right.
Yeah,
but
became a Democrat and made things a mess for Bush before September 11th happened.
The last part of that was right, but the middle part, Ken?
Exactly. He did make things bad for Bush and he made things terrible for the Republicans, but he never became a Democrat. He became an independent, although he voted with the Democrats to give them control of the Senate. He never switched to the Democratic Party.
Okay.
So you lose on a technicality, Heather.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, okay. It was worth a try anyway. Well,
thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Let's see if we can go. This is Isaac. Isaac with us from Ypsilanti.
Hi.
Go ahead, Isaac.
I have Miller from Georgia.
Zell Miller gave a ringing endorsement of the Republican candidate at the Republican National Convention. Of course, he is a Democrat.
Yes, and Zell Miller never switched parties also. He gave the blistering attack on the Democrats, on John Kerry at 2004 convention, but he stayed a Democrat, and even though he's no longer in the Senate, he remained a Democrat, never switched to the GOP.
I don't think he's going to be running for anything as a Democrat anytime soon, but he did not change parties. Could have fooled me, but anyway, thanks for the call, Isaac. Let's see if we can go now. This is Rob, and Rob's with us from Virginia Beach.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Well, like the young lady before, I thought it was a either-or, but anyway, my answer would be Richard Shelby, I believe his name is.
Richard Shelby, the Republican, now senator from Alabama.
Matter of fact, Richard Shelby is a good guess. The day after the 1994 elections, he switched from the Democrats to the Republican Party, but he is not the last senator to do that. So we still need another senator, plus we need a member of the House.
Nice try, Rob.
I get a half a shirt, right?
No. That's coming in second. That's the silver medal. Let's see if we can go. This is James. James with us from Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I'd say in the Senate, it's Ben Nighthorse Campbell.
That is correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
The Democrat turned Republican in Colorado.
All right. And then the House is a little tougher, but I'd go with Ralph Hall.
Ralph Hall did switch parties, but he is not the last one to do so. Ralph Hall, a Democrat turning Republican in Texas, not the last House member to do so.
Okay, you're going to get half a T-shirt, James.
I'll settle for one.
All right, we'll give you either the front or the back. Your choice. We're going to put you on hold.
Thanks.
If I can manage to find the right button, and he's going to get one of the fabulous no-prize T-shirts. And anyway, let's see if somebody can find that member of the House of Representatives. That's all we're looking for. The last one to switch from Republican to Democrat or vice versa. 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. However, the defection of Arlen Specter does give the Democrats 59 votes in the United States Senate. They would reach that magic 60-vote filibuster-proof majority if
we had a winner in Minnesota. Now, we are somewhat closer, at least we see a path to that. The Minnesota Supreme Court has agreed to take up Norm Coleman's challenge to a three-judge panel that said that Al Franken won the election by 312 votes. The Minnesota Supreme Court will hear this appeal starting June 1st. So we will not have a Minnesota senator, or at least a second senator, until mid-June at the earliest. But again, the guess is that the Supreme Court agrees with what the three-judge panel says. They will say that Coleman loses, and Tim Pawlenty, the governor, the Republican governor of Minnesota, is likely to certify Al Franken. But again, it won't happen until mid-June.
Mid-June at the earliest.
At the earliest.
Then, of course, we did finally, without apparently a lawsuit in sight, get a winner in the New York 20th. This, of course, a election that came down to a razor-thin majority.
Right. That's the one that Kirsten Gillibrand gave up when she became a U.S. senator. Scott Murphy, a Democrat, first-time candidate, beat Jim Todisco, the Republican minority leader in the state Senate. State Assembly. What's amazing about that story, of course, is that 70,000 more Republicans in that district than Democrat. Most people thought Todisco had it easily going in. It just shows the weakness of the Republican Party, certainly in New York and the East and the Northeast.
And we'll do more on that later when we focus on the situation in Pennsylvania and Arlen Specter's decision to defect from the Republican Party to the Democrats. And in the meantime, we have Kathleen Sebelius, the former now governor of Kansas, now the Secretary for Health and Human Services. All you needed was a swine flu epidemic.
Well, that, I mean, you're saying that with a smile, but that's true, because the Republicans were really set to fight this nomination. She had received contributions or some PAC money from they call it a notorious late-term abortion doctor from Kansas. But with the swine flu, not even epidemic, but the outbreak and the fear, they felt that HHS secretary position had to be filled. The vote yesterday in the full Senate was 65 to 31. Nine Republicans, including a guy named Arlen Specter, voted for her. And so now the cabinet is complete.
What about the state house in Topeka?
Well, that's interesting, too, because her lieutenant governor is a guy named Mark Parkinson, who was the Republican state chairman until he switched parties in 2006, because he felt, some Republicans felt, that the GOP was moving too far to the right in Kansas. He's the governor. He's a Democrat, but he will not run for re-election in 2010.
Let's see if somebody can come up with the right answer. We're looking for the last member of the House to switch from Republican to Democrat or vice versa. Todd with us from Royal Oak in Michigan.
Hello. How about the Virgil Good from Southside, Virginia, who switched from a very conservative Democrat to Republican?
Well, the thing with Virgil Good, of course, if he ran with Tim Pawlenty, it would be Good and Plenty. I've used that joke for 12 shows now. He went from a Democrat to an independent and then switched from an independent to a Republican. He did not switch directly from one party to the other.
Oh, Todd.
And that was in 2002.
I'll email you Ken's address so you can pick it, demanding
well,
your T-shirt.
You know.
we're coming up. We're out of time here. We're out of time, so I think we're going to have to just concede and just give away one T-shirt this.
The answer would have been Rodney Alexander, Democrat turned Republican in Louisiana.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh,
Tom, are you there?
I am.
You had Rodney Alexander?
I did. He changed on his way to the voting.
That's exactly right.
All right, Tom, we're going to put you on hold. You get a fabulous no prize T-shirt.
I am excited.
All right. Boy, you can hear the excitement in that. The prize is pretty an amazing prize.
Of course, his name is Tom Alexander. That was, you know, a little
giveaway there. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to focus more on the situation in Pennsylvania, the meaning of this for politics in Pennsylvania and for the Republican Party mostly, but for the Democrats too. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's Political Junkie Day on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Senator Arlen Specter switched his party affiliation yesterday, and we certainly appreciated that he did so less than 24 hours before Wednesday. That is just in time for our weekly visit with the political junkie Ken Rudin. A few months back, we spoke with Joe Delano, a political analyst for KDKA-TV in Pittsburgh and a columnist for the Pittsburgh Business Times, about the prospects for a matchup between conservative Pat Toomey, a former member of Congress, and Senator Specter, the incumbent in the Pennsylvania Republican primary. That would be coming up, well, a little bit more than a year from now. Well, that may happen, but it's going to happen a year and a half from now in November during the general election, if Arlen Specter can find his way to win the Democratic primary and if Pat Toomey prevails in the Republican primary. We've invited John Delano back, and he joins us today from the studios. Whoop, he's not there yet. We're going to be with him in just a minute. In the meantime, it's easy for Arlen Specter to say, I've got Ken Rudin, a big challenge in the Republican Party. I probably can't beat Pat Toomey. Is he going to face any difficulties in the Democratic primary?
Not if both President Obama and Governor Ed Rendell said they're on board with the party switch. They're very excited about that. And with the money that both Obama and Rendell can engender for Specter, it's hard to imagine anybody doing a strong primary challenge against him, except they're not every Democrat is excited. Remember what he did, what Arlen Specter, the grilling of Anita Hill during the Clarence Thomas hearings in 1991. A lot of Democrats haven't forgot that. He voted for Samuel Alito. He voted for Clarence Thomas. He's not a doctrinaire either party, and there are some Democrats that are just not happy with him.
And we do have John Delano back on the line today from KDKA in Pittsburgh. Nice to have you with us today.
Neil, it's always good to be with you. Ken, you too. Yes, this is, wow, what a development. And I think you're quite right, Ken. A lot of folks don't think of Arlen Specter as a Democrat here in Pennsylvania. In fact, his ratings, I believe, two-thirds of the time, he votes with Republicans. And so he's going to have to make a case, I think, to Democrats in Pennsylvania that he really is a Democratic senator. He can switch the party label, but whether or not he can change people's perceptions of him, that may take a little bit of time, despite the fact that the state leadership in Governor Ed Rendell clearly has lined up behind Arlen Specter.
And was there anybody lined up to run for that Democratic nomination, of anybody of substance, that will now be disappointed?
Well, it's all in your definition of substance, I suppose, Neil. But you have Joe Torsella, who was the person in Philadelphia who really began the National Constitution Center and who has been a protege of Ed Rendell. He is the only announced candidate for United States Senate in the Democratic primary. But you do have others as well. For example, Joe Sestak, the congressman from suburban Philadelphia, is still saying he's raised over $700,000. He's still saying he's not, you know, he's not precluding the opportunity to run for Senate next year. Out in my neck of the woods in western Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh city controller, Michael Lamb, has talked about running. He's still saying, as of today, that he still wants to see Arlen Specter. What are his Democratic views, and what is he going to do for western Pennsylvania? So I think there's still some concern out there that Arlen Specter, although he has switched parties, may not really be a true Democrat in the Pennsylvania style. And of course, we ought not to leave out organized labor, very important in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And clearly, Arlen Specter has picked a fight with organized labor by saying that he will continue to oppose the Employee Free Choice Act, the so-called card check unionization program that is the number one priority of organized labor.
Ken?
John Cornyn, the senator, the chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, when he endorsed Specter over Toomey a few weeks ago, he said the reason is there's no way that Toomey could win statewide. Specter, if we're going to hold the seat, it's with Specter. Is there any movement by so-called moderate Republicans to draft like a Tom Ridge or some other Republican who might have a shot of winning the nomination, or is this Toomey's nomination to win?
Well, I think there is certainly a lot of moderate Republicans in Pennsylvania, those who have not already switched to the Democratic Party, who are hoping that someone like Tom Ridge, we're hearing those rumors. Ridge himself hasn't said he's going to do it. And of course, his reason for getting out of politics in the first place was to support his family, raise more money, make more money, which clearly he's doing now as a lobbyist and a consultant. So I don't know whether Tom Ridge would be enticed to come back in to a race for U.S. Senate. I think most people believe that Tom Ridge could beat Pat Toomey, and indeed that Tom Ridge could win the U.S. Senate seat for the Republicans. Pat Toomey is not to be underestimated, though. I've certainly interviewed him and met him a number of times. He is somebody who is personable. He can make a very good case for himself, and it looks like he's going to have that Republican nomination, absent other candidates getting into it. And I think the real question for voters in Pennsylvania will not be so much, is Pat Toomey too conservative for Pennsylvania? It really will be a referendum on Arlen Specter, assuming he wins the nomination. And as Toomey said yesterday, you know, can you really trust Arlen Specter? I mean, that's going to be the basis of the argument against Specter.
Okay. And as you look ahead to this race, a lot of that's going to depend on the ability to raise money. President Obama can certainly go to Pennsylvania and help Arlen Specter raise money. One assumes that the president of the Club for Growth is not going to have difficulty raising a lot of money either.
No, I don't think money is going to be an issue. I think folks on radio and television are going to make a lot of money with advertising next year, particularly in that general election. I don't think there's any doubt that both Pat Toomey, Arlen Specter, frankly, are going to have millions and millions of dollars. This will become a very hot race, and I don't think it's a done deal for Arlen Specter in any way, shape, or form.
Thanks very much.
Always a pleasure to be with you guys.
John Delano, a political analyst for KDKA-TV in Pittsburgh, joined us from the studios of his station there, and it was great to have him on the show today. Well, do you vote on the basis of a politician's party? Does it matter to you? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.com. KenRudin.org. And let's introduce two people here with us in the studio, Studio 3A. Anna Greenberg is with us, Senior Vice President and Principal of Greenberg, Quinlan and Rossner. She's a Democratic pollster. Nice to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Frank Donatelli, who's the chairman of the Republican Party Political Action Committee, GOPAC. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And let's see, again, do you vote on the basis of a politician's party? Does it matter to you? 800-989-8255. Frank Donatelli, how did you react to the news of Arlen Specter's departure?
Well, I was surprised. I mean, he has been a Republican office holder for over 40 years now, and he's been elected to the Senate as a Republican four times, I believe. Presidents Reagan, Bush, and Bush campaigned for him, and he has always had the support of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. So it was a bitter disappointment. I would say I do agree that it's not a done deal that he will necessarily be elected. He's a 30-year Senate veteran, and he is 80 years old, and he doesn't exactly represent the change that the Democratic Party is talking about right now.
Anna Greenberg, as we heard from Ken, there's a lot of reasons for Democrats might be uneasy with Arlen Specter. He has, however, vote 59.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, you know, Frank may have been disappointed. I was elated at the news, of course. But, look, I think that what you'll see in the next year and a half is there'll be some critical votes in the Senate around big issues, energy reform, healthcare policy. And to the extent that Arlen Specter is part of the group that allows those to pass, I think that helps with his bona fides among Democrats. If he's part of the change that Barack Obama promised, I think he isn't going to have a problem convincing Democrats to vote for him.
And convincing Democrats to vote for him in Pennsylvania next year. We assume at this point the party still stands for something. We're going to assume he has a pretty much of a free ride through the primary.
I think so. I think that it is so critical to hang on to this seat, in addition to hopefully getting Minnesota to get to that 60. I think the chance, I don't think the party's going to take any kind of chance around losing the 60 votes that we need for cloture vote.
And that's to win the supermajority to avoid filibusters in the United States Senate, which are come up on every bill of importance now in the United States Senate. So that's going to be critical when and if they ever resolve the situation in Minnesota no sooner than June. Anyway, Frank, as you go ahead in the party, you're seeing some of the party saying, look, this is a complete and utter disaster. We have no Republicans in the Congress from the northeastern part of the country anymore. You're seeing more big defection now in Pennsylvania. You could see others, rumors that the Democrats are going to try to pick off people from that part of the country in the House of Representatives as well. At this point, the Republicans say we're in danger of looking like a regional southern conservative male party.
Well, that is a danger. There isn't any question about that. I think that what we have to look, you can't run at the same race in every part, a type of race in every part of the country. People in Pennsylvania think differently on some issues than people in Texas and people in California and people in Oregon, for that matter. And that's why we're a union of sovereign state parties. I think we do have to allow some leeway for Republicans to run slightly different campaigns in different parts of the country. When you put a majority together, you never have 51 people in the Senate that agree with you on everything. It's a coalition. You know, that's how Ronald Reagan governed. He had 53 Republicans, but he had a lot of moderates as part of that group. So I don't think there's any question that we as a party have to reach out and we have to look for different kinds of candidates, especially in the Northeast and the Midwest.
There's another faction of the party that says, hey, we're better off without him. He wasn't a real Republican anyway. The Democrats are going to find out how much fun it is to have Arlen Specter in their caucus. And we need Pat Toomey as a real solid conservative, a real Republican.
Well, look, let me just say, the Republican Party is the conservative party. We are the right-of-center party. And so by the natural order of things, the vast majority of candidates, and rightly so, because I'm a conservative, that we feel are going to be conservative Republicans. That isn't to say that they all have to be conservative Republicans. Pennsylvania is a state, if I have to put a label on it, I'm a native Pennsylvanian many years ago, it's a more moderate state than Texas is, for example. And so, all things being equal, you do have to allow for a Republican of a slightly different stripe to be able to run statewide and win.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. We'll begin with Don in Rochester, New York.
Good afternoon, Neil, and to all your guests.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Yeah, I hear a lot of people talking about you know, how this means the end of the Northeastern moderate Republicans, how it's now becoming a Southern conservative party with some people, you know, in the West. You know, they call them Rockefeller Republicans. But didn't Rockefeller in his later years do some quite conservative things, like the life imprisonment drug law and massacring all those people at Attica? So why is he used as a symbol of a moderate Republican?
It's a long time ago, Ken Rudin.
Well, one of the reasons is because he challenged Barry Goldwater for the nomination in 64, and that primary became the description of liberal versus conservative, even though Rockefeller wasn't as liberal as people thought. But you also had a lot of Republicans of that stripe. You had Jacob Javits and Chuck Percy and Clifford Case and Ed Brook and Mark Hatfield, and that wing of the Republican Party doesn't exist in the Senate anymore.
But Rockefeller himself, in his last years, became a lot like Barry Goldwater, or a lot like...
And he backed Jim Buckley in 1970. You know, he became more conservative as the party became more conservative. He certainly adapted, just as Arlen Specter has become more liberal as the and that's why he's probably more in tune with the Democratic Party.
That's our political junkie, Ken Rudin, who's with us here every Wednesday. Also with us this week, Frank Donatelli, the chairman of GOPAC, and Anna Greenberg, who's a Democratic pollster. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Fred. Fred with us from Portsmouth, Virginia.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, thanks.
Question. This may be a little cynical, but obviously maybe he didn't like being the ranking member on many of the committees. And switching to the Democratic Party now, does that mean musical chairs on the committee chairmanships and the committee?
The ranking member of any committee is the senior member of the minority party, someone normally without a great deal of say. But Ken Rudin, what does this do to committee assignments?
It looks like that Specter has been promised, or at least he wants to be chairman of the Labor HHS Subcommittee on Appropriations. Tom Harkin is currently the chairman of that, but Harkin has 4 years less seniority than Specter. The feeling is that Specter will get that subcommittee after chairmanship after the 2010 elections.
What about the Senate Judiciary Committee, currently chaired by Pat Leahy of Vermont?
Pat Leahy has more seniority. Leahy was elected in 74. Specter was elected in 80. Leahy has more seniority.
All right. Fred, good question. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's see if we can go to, this is Leslie. Leslie with us from Leawood in Kansas.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
It's a fascinating conversation, and, you know, our bona fides from party points of view matter in all the politics, but my husband and I were talking last night, and, the question hasn't been brought up at all that I've heard. It's just, and this is really cynical, but, you know, he's 79 years old. What's the game here? And it seems really personal, and I think, a lot of money will get showered on the election, but it goes down to, what does he really want, and what is he really saying? And I think voters are asking those kinds of questions. They're not necessarily footing all the bills for the parties, but it seems personal.
Anna Greenberg, it would be hard to argue the Republican Party has not moved to the right. Nevertheless, Senator Specter appeared to be saying, I really want a sixth term.
I think this is about his deep personal desire to stay in the Senate. And let's face it, there are people like Strom Thurmond and Robert Byrd who, served, and are serving at different ages. And I don't think that age is much of a disqualification in the Senate.
Well, I might argue with you in the last year
well,
of Ms. Thurmond's service, but, it's not an ages comment that I make. It's more, I think it becomes not really being able to envision something for himself. For heaven's sake, he's from Kansas. Is he really a Pennsylvanian,
Well, there's that issue, too. But some people would say it's important for a state like Pennsylvania, any state, for example, to have very senior representation, not only in the House of Representatives, but in the Senate, a powerful, long-time-serving somebody with a lot of tenure who gets to be
right.
chairman of subcommittees is more important than a freshman.
Seniority buys you a lot of power in the Senate, and the other senator from Pennsylvania is pretty junior. Pennsylvania gives up a lot if they lose Specter, just in terms of what, the kind of bacon you can bring home to the state.
Leslie, thanks very much, and I'm sure he'll be very nice to Kansas, too. Bye-bye. Here's a couple of emails from Bobby in Syracuse. I never used to vote party lines. I voted the individual rather than the R or D designation. However, The Republican Party has become totally irrelevant, and 8 years of horror in the Bush administration, I now vote 100% Democrat and will continue to do so for years to come. The Republicans have no concept of the 21st century, have become marginalized and regionalized to such an extent they no longer speak for anyone I know. Frank Donatella here with us on the 100-year time loop. Also this from Jay in Castro Valley, California. I never vote for anybody strictly because of their party. I find that foolish these days. I vote for a particular candidate, regardless of party, who best represents my views. I will occasionally vote for a third-party candidate who doesn't represent my views when neither major party candidate reflects what I want. Well, does party identity mean much to you anymore? Give us a call. We're going to continue batting this question around. When we come back after a short break, our guests again are Anna Greenberg, who's the Senior Vice President and Principal of Greenberg, Quinlan and Rossner. She's a Democratic pollster. Also with us is Frank Donatelli, the Chairman of the Republican Party Political Action Committee called GOPAC. They're both with us here in the studio in Washington, along with Ken Rudin, our political junkie, who's with us every Wednesday. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.